is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This week we conclude the series, Amazing Prophecies in the Book of Genesis. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is The Statesman with How Long Has It Been? After which, we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Not the earthly city of Jerusalem in these last days also be destroyed, just like the Sodom in the book of Genesis? Into the heavens they would be like gods, and now we have the space shuttle, the flying tower of Babel. And they had all of these united people, these different languages, different religions, Jew, Hindu, Christian, Unitarian, Universalist, flying into the heavens on the spaceship Columbia. They spent 16 days, that's numerologically seven. There were seven of them. And the Jewish man had him a little ritual up there with his Jewish flag with its number 666 on the Star of David and his seven candlestick candelabra, which he called the Tree of Life, but it turned into death for the whole crew. It's a fascinating tidbit for you, my friends, to know that they said when the space shuttle passed over Palestine, Texas, not Israel. There is a town in Texas called Palestine. I think the most interesting thing about that town is it seems to have more jackrabbits per square mile than any other town in Texas. Although I stayed a while in Abilene in the Air Force, and there was a jackrabbit behind every tree there, hiding in the shade of the trees. It's just that there weren't many trees in Abilene. But there were more rabbits behind the telephone poles, hiding in the shadow of the telephone poles. And I thought there was more rabbits there than I'd ever seen in my life. Famous University of Texas football player, they say he got so fast by chasing jackrabbits in his hometown of Palestine, Texas. Palestine, is that of some kind of significance? Imagine this spaceship, Columbia, was a challenge to God. And by the way, there was another spaceship called Challenger that some terrible things happened to back even before this one. This one, they say, began to fall apart, break up in space just as it passed in the air over the town of Palestine. Isn't that interesting? Now, it seems we've talked about in the days of Noah how there was a mixing of the blood of human beings, of women, with serpent seed blood. And from that came the progeny, the giants and the mighty men of old. It's interesting today that men are working very hard to be able, through bioengineering, through genetic engineering, through DNA research, to build human beings, to create life. Genesis, of course, talks about God being the creator. But in March 2002 was an issue of the Scottish Rite Journal, and C. Fred Kleindeck, the Sovereign Grand Commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, said, as Masons, we are the creators of Earth. We are the creators. That's interesting, isn't it? Edward Cornish, the editor of the Futurist magazine and president of the World Future Society, which many people have told me has a logo, a symbol that looks sort of like 666, the World Future Society. Mr. Cornish, in that magazine, an issue which I read with great interest, said he has a belief in positive genetic engineering. He says, and he believed in evolution, of course, Mr. Cornish says, human nature developed over millions of years when man existed in a savage or barbaric state. But now that we live in a technological civilization, perhaps we should change men's DNA. We can bring about such modifications as reducing the sex drive. We can ourselves be creators by making people less aggressive, less lustful, less selfish. We, says Mr. Cornish, we, mankind, could make ourselves into saints capable of creating a heaven on earth. In his acclaimed book, The Selfish Gene, biologist Richard Dawkins suggested ways to bring about gentle and generous people. He said, you see, it seems that there are so many on this earth that are not good people, that are evil and selfish, but we can change ourselves. He said, we are built as gene, G-E-N-E, DNA machines, but we have the technological power, listen to this, to turn against our creators. Who's he talking about? Jesus, who created this earth and created humanity and created the first woman and the first man. We alone, writes Richard Dawkins, this world-famous biologist in his book, The Selfish Gene, we alone on earth can rebel against the tyranny of the selfish replicators. In other words, we can rebel against God. He created us like this, but we don't have to be like this. We can be wonderful, loving, kind, generous. You see, to Dawkins, to Mr. Cornish, it's bad genes, not human sin, not Satan, that are the enemies of man. And if we but rebel against God, who created us this way, we can create man into a saint. All men shall become saints on earth. And as saints, and we can create a heaven on earth. Oh, that utopia. Oh, that race of kingdom builders that I warned you about, my friends. These are bloody kingdom builders. And everyone who wants to build a kingdom on earth is part of their group. Isn't that what they're doing, trying to build a kingdom right now in Israel? Jesus said in Matthew 23, also read 24, he said that Jerusalem, the house of Israel, or Jerusalem, that physical Jerusalem, the people, the Jews, your house is left unto you desolate until the Son of Man returns. But there are Judaizers in the Christian church today, and there are all of these powerful Jewish lobbyists and organizations in the nation of Israel that said, no, we will not be left desolate until Jesus returns. We will build the kingdom now. We are like gods on earth. We are God's chosen people, and we will build this kingdom now on earth. And all the Falwells and the Robertsons and the Dobsons said, oh, yes, amen. The Jews shall be rulers of all the earth, ruling from earthly Israel, earthly Jerusalem, that rebuilt nation, the builders, the rabbis in Jesus' day actually called themselves the builders. I was recently reading a book by Dr. Michael Higger. It was a strange book that was found only by God's leading a man. It was a dusty volume written back in the 30s and filed away at the University of Texas Library. And a man saw this book and said, oh my goodness. He saw that it had been approved by the Jewish Council of Rabbis for the state of Texas. I've read this book. I have a copy. The Jewish Utopia is the name of it. We shall build a kingdom on earth, and our Davidic king, not Jesus. We're not Christians, the man says. Dr. Higger says, we, the rabbis and the Jews, shall build a heaven on earth. And all roads shall lead to Jerusalem. A kingdom of men on earth. And we will allow righteous Gentiles to live. Those who agree with us. The righteous Gentiles. Who are loyal to the Jews. But we shall be the God-men, is what he says in essence. It's interesting that Christ said this to Nicodemus, a man who wanted to understand but could not. Why could Nicodemus not understand? Because he was a learned elder of Zion. And in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus explained to Nicodemus how to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Listen to me, dear friends. This goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, where Abraham was chosen by God, taken out of his own country, and brought into a new world as such, he and his family. And God said, I will bless you and your seed. You say, well, that means the physical seed. That means the flesh. Friends, you don't know anything if you believe that. Because the flesh is flesh and is nothing and will not inherit the kingdom of God. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you don't understand that, I'm telling you right now, you are not even a Christian. I read to you from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham, this is verse 7, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared before him. God's going to give Abraham land. Did he give it to him? Yes, he did. Did he give his seed that land? He gave us physical seed, but more than that, you say, well, that's the thing, Tex. You don't understand. The Jews are supposed to have the land. It's been promised them. Land, land, land. They're supposed to have a kingdom on earth. They're supposed to have all the land, land. That's what they want over Israel. They want to build a greater Israel. What do you think they're fighting over there? In Iraq, and next will be Syria and Iran and all of the countries. They're looking for an earthly kingdom, an earthly Israel, an earthly Jerusalem, the one that Jesus said would be desolate. And Abraham was looking for a different kind of city. You say, no. He was promised a new country. He was looking for a city right here on earth. You're a liar, friends. Let me read it to you. In Hebrews, this is the Apostle Paul. He says in chapter 11, verse 8, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went or whither he went. We go back to this Genesis. I just read it to you. Abraham did what God said. Because God said, I've got a place for you. I've got a place for you. I've got a city for you and for your seed. And Abraham went out to possess it. Verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. There was Abraham, there was Isaac, there was Jacob. They had been promised an inheritance, Paul said. And he went out obeying. He didn't know where he was going, but he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get that inheritance. God promised it to me and my seed. And by faith, he went after it. But listen, where did he stay as a human being? In the flesh, where did he live? God had promised him a city. But it says here he sojourned. That means he was not a citizen. He was a sojourner. He was only there temporarily in the land as in a strange country. Friends, if you're a Christian, every place, every city on earth is strange to you. It is. This is a strange world. You're a strange man. You're a strange woman in a strange land. He dwelt there in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and they were heirs with him of the same promise. But they were sojourners. They were pilgrims. They never looked at the places they were staying as anything special. And you better not either if you're of God. Why? Because listen to this. This makes you want to cry. Verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, for he, that is Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Oh, really? Did God lie to them? He promised them an inheritance, and they died in the flesh, never having received the promises. God lied to them, didn't he? No, he didn't lie to them. Shut up. He didn't lie to them. Listen to me. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. From afar off they saw the city. From afar off they said, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm a stranger on the earth. But I'm persuaded, and I have already embraced that city to which I'm going, where I shall be a citizen forever, for eternity. Verse 14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Friends, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He has prepared a city, the heavenly, the new Jerusalem. It's even described in the book of Revelation. And here in Genesis, he told Abraham, you and your seed, I have a promise for you. I have built a city for you. And you will be able to see it even here on earth. You're going to be a stranger. You're going to be a pilgrim here on earth. But you're going to see that city from afar off. But I don't want you to wait. I want you to grab it right now and embrace it and hold on to it. Friends, right now, I like Austin, Texas. I think it's the best city in this world. You may like the city you live. I don't know. I don't care if the people of Israel like the city where they live, in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. I don't care, but listen to me. If you embrace that city to the exclusion of the coming city, you're a fool. Abraham could have cared less ultimately about wherever he was. He had already embraced the New Jerusalem. He was holding on fast to the promise. He didn't want a city built by men, foundations built by men. It's going to crumble into nothingness, just as the Tower of Babel. The people left off the building of it. It never was finished. The city of man will never be finished, but God has already built a great city. Friend, cast your eyes on that city, and you will never fail. That's the New Jerusalem. And you know what? Paul spoke to you and me too. You see, we are the seed of Abraham. You say, no, we're not. That's the Jews. You want to debate God, not me. Because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, Paul said, and if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? That God has built a city for you. And you can embrace it now, even though you should be, if you believe in Jesus, persuaded that it exists. I know it exists. I've already grabbed hold of it. And Paul said, we are situated in heavenly places. You can live in Toledo. You can live in Sacramento. You can live in Oklahoma City. But if you have Jesus, you are only a stranger to that place. And I'm telling you, friends, this world gets stranger and more bizarre every day. I don't want to be here. I don't want to stay here. I've already embraced the city. I'm going to. You can stay here. You can have it. You can build your kingdoms. America can be the greatest power on earth. We can be better than Rome, greater than France under Napoleon, greater than anybody, greater than China under Mao. It doesn't matter to me. I've already got a place. Listen to what Paul tells us, you and me today, if we're of Christ. He says, but ye, this is now Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Do you realize when you're born again in the Spirit, you become citizen of another city, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, where there is an innumerable company of angels? And Paul said to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, you say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, baloney! You are a member of the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Made perfect. Do you remember about Noah in Genesis? He was a just man, perfect in his generations. In his flesh, he was perfect. But flesh cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And what do we have here? Noah is in heaven today, I believe, but he has been made perfect in the Spirit. Aha! Born again in the Spirit, made perfect by God. Verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel was respected by God, honored by God for his sacrifice. But there is something, a blood of Jesus, that is the new covenant that speaketh better things than those of Abel. Friends, also in Hebrews, the very last chapter, verse 13 says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.